This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk here with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. On the phone, we have Tom Dierlein. He is the CEO of a company called Thundercat Technology. What a name. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's a funny name. Thundercat 6 was my call sign in Baghdad.
Yeah.
So hence the name Thundercat Technology.
You know, Tom, many of my listeners are federal IT professionals, many with military backgrounds. So they're going to hear Thundercat. They're going to go, hey, this guy's one of us. It sounds very aggressive, or doesn't it? It sounds very, you know, threatening almost.
it's interesting. We got into Baghdad, and we were picking out some call signs, and we went with feline names, so like Panther and Jaguar and Lion. I think somebody already had taken Tiger. And my driver actually said, we could be Thundercat.
Yeah.
And that sounds great. And then he showed me the logo, which was great. I said, that's it. Make the stencils. Let's spray paint that on the Humvees. At the time, I didn't realize it was a cheesy 80s cartoon. And to this day, I actually still haven't seen an episode of the cartoon.
Hey, I'm the king of cheese, so we like cheesy around here, Bob. If you are listening to this and you want to get more information, the website is thundercat.com. Tech.com. There's two T's in there, and you get more information on the company. Before I begin this interview, Tom, just give us maybe you've hinted at your background here. Tell us about your background and how you wound up working with this organization, please.
So my background, I'm actually one of nine kids, grew up in White Plains, ran off to West Point, graduated there in 89, spent a few years in the military, was infantry, airborne ranger, and I got out in 93. I actually got involved in selling mission-critical information technology systems in 1995, so I'm rapidly approaching 20 years in the high-tech business. I started off with a company called Parametric Technology Corporation selling engineering software, and then rode the first dot-com, selling some of the first mission-critical infrastructure in the late 90s. In 2005, actually, I got called back into the military. I was in something that was called the Individuality Reserve. So I had first left the military in 1993. So 12 years later, I was called back to active duty.
They keep pulling you back in, just like in the movie,
that's
huh?
Right, that's right. You try and get out, and they keep pulling you back in.
Back in.
My best Al Pacino. But this time I wasn't an airborne ranger, you know, kicking down doors and chasing bad guys. I actually went over there as part of Special Operations Command Civil Affairs Officer. Mm-hmm. So my job was actually taking care of the non-combatants, and I did a lot of work in governance, economic development, or what we now classically call reconstruction.
Yeah,
I was there about 5 months, and I ended up getting shot by a sniper.
Oh, what a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it was brutal. I was part of an Operation Together Forward 2, which was the retaking of Baghdad in the summer of 2006. It was actually the failure of that operation that led to the call for the surge in the fall of 2006. But I got shot. I spent about 8 months doing rehab at Walter Reed and the VA Tampa, James A. Haley, down in Tampa at their polytrauma center. And it was there that I had gotten connected up with Bob Eisenminger and Doug Dunkel. And they were at a company called Knight Point Systems doing IT services. Bob is a disabled vet like myself, and Doug and I had similar backgrounds, and he had worked for a number of different high-tech companies with a good friend of mine, Matt Martin. And these guys would come and they'd bring me soup and a sandwich. And then when I was doing my rehab exercises, they would come and work with me. So I knew these guys were really great guys. Obviously, there's that shared connection and background of similar companies. Well, about 6 months after I got back out of the hospital in late 2007, I was approached by these guys about purchasing the products group from Nightpoint Systems. They had started their company to do IT services. But as you can imagine, if you're sitting in the data center, you're providing the services, folks are like, oh, I need some more databases, or do you mind throwing in some Blade servers here? And that wasn't the business they wanted to be in. So they had approached me, and I agreed to purchase the products group from Nightpoint Systems, and that's kind of our heritage. So along with four partners, Keith McMeans, Dan Dunkel, Doug Dunkel, and Justin Kazemka, we formed Thundercat Technology in December of 2007, and we officially opened our doors in April of 2008.
Much easier to remember than those four names, I'll tell you that much. The Thundercat, I can write that down, but those names got me. So you actually deal with helping data centers when they consolidate, when they move, when they design them, whole kinds of different aspects of that. Is that correct?
That's right. We're a classic VAR, or what nowadays everyone calls a systems integrator. And we specialize in data center solutions, more specifically mostly storage, some networking applications, and, of course, security. But as we saw this initiative come out, this was some work that we were already doing, helping our clients be smarter, reduce costs, reduce their footprint. And once it became a mandate, we decided to make it a major focus of how we help our clients.
You know, a couple weeks back, we had Vivek Kundra in the studio here. He left the government, but he famously came up with his 25 points. And I think everyone listening, maybe everyone on the planet, knows that the one shift is to reduce the number of data centers. And all kinds of different numbers are thrown around in this. I'm sure you can get 10,000 listeners and 10,000 different numbers. But, Tom, maybe I'll bounce this number off you. You can maybe throw it back at me and see. So 4 years ago, whenever this 25 points came out, they said, well, look, we got around 3,000 data centers here, and let's kind of, in the next couple of years, reduce 1,000 of these. And what they're trying to do is eliminate redundancies and maybe reduce energy consumption. So paint this picture for our listeners, for maybe some of the people who are in their cars and maybe not that familiar with this data center consolidation initiative.
I'll start with what you talked about, which was the 25-point implementation plan, which is also now known as the Cloud First Initiative. And if you think about it, it was an aggressive and I'll go ahead and say visionary plan that was really trying to combat the pervasive inefficiencies and expenses in the government's IT infrastructures. So, you know, within those 25 points was what they were saying was, look, let's try and do an analysis. Let's shift to a cloud first. Let's start doing shared resources. He published that 25-point plan in December of 2009. And really, if you think about it, right, it's just trying to make agencies do a better job managing all this large-scale IT. Improve acquisition, management, budgeting, governance, and accountability. So I'm actually a big fan of that plan. A couple months later is when they launched, as a part of that 25-point plan, what is now known as FDCCI.
So that's February 2010.
Yep, February 2010, so just over 2 years ago. And it's the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative. And as you had pointed out, the whole point of that particular initiative under that plan was to reduce the cost of data center hardware, software, and operations. Number two, increase the overall IT security posture of the government. That's obviously critical. Number three, shift IT investments to more efficient computing platforms and technologies. And that's obviously a huge challenge with the rapid pace of change. And then lastly, promote the use of green IT by reducing the overall energy and real estate footprint.
Very very noble goals, but certainly not. And then next week when you're done with that.
Right. I'll talk about the last point that you made, John, which was, you know, when they first started out, they had said, okay, there's probably 1,100 data centers, and we want to reduce 800 of those.
Well, they were just guessing, yeah.
2010 and 2011, they realized, well, now, yeah, that number is well over 2,000. And back at the time, they were defining a data center as any room greater than 500 square feet and meeting tier classifications as defined by the Uptime Institute. Well, now, in the latest memorandum by the new federal CIO, Stephen Van Roekel, I guess on March 19th, so just over a month ago, well, now they're saying, look, it's according to FDCCI, this mandate, a data center is actually now defined as a closet or a room or a floor or a building for the storage, management, and dissemination of data and information.
Now we got more of them out there.
That's right. And it's I don't want to say it's a looser definition, but I do think it's a more realistic, all-encompassing definition. And so I think that as folks have started to do their asset inventory and started to figure out what is it that they have, they've realized actually the sprawl that has taken place was worse than even initially imagined.
We're going to have to take a break, and maybe they'll update my listeners with sprawl and crawl, as they say in this town. When we get back, talk more about a reducing number of data centers and tools and maybe some website you can go to learn more about this. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tom Dierlein, CEO of Thundercat Technology.
When lives are at stake, you need technology you can count on. FLIR Systems' legacy of life-saving thermal imaging sensors continues through their offering of full-spectrum chemical, biological, radiation, and explosive threat detection systems and beyond-the-fence perimeter security solutions. Visit FLIR.com to learn more. FLIR Systems, because it's not just your job, it's your life.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7222.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Jero Formulas.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Rock that fanny pack, wearing those khakis last.
Kevin,
yeah?
What are you doing?
Just singing this sweet tune I heard on the radio this morning.
We need to get you HD radio, man. Those are not the lyrics. If you were listening to that song in my Kia Optima with the UVO infotainment system and HD radio, you'd hear all the lyrics with crystal clear digital sound quality. Plus the artist and song title even display on my UVO screen.
Then let's go for a ride and hope the fanny pack song comes on.
Voice-activated UVO infotainment system with HD radio. Now available in the Kia Optima. For 125 years, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth of our nation's capital and its surrounding communities. Your support will help over 21,000 youth who need you most walk through the doors of a Boys and Girls Club and walk out with a plan for their future. Every dollar donated in fiscal year 2012 will be matched up to $250,000 by Stanley Martin Homes. You can help. Go online to www.bgcgw.org and change someone's life. This message brought to you by GEICO.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are discussing data centers, data center consolidation, and tools and maybe websites my listeners can use to try to solve that problem in reducing the number of data centers they're managing. We are speaking with Tom Dierlein, and he's the CEO of a company called Thundercat Technology. Before the break, we kind of touched on a bunch of different topics, talked about a number of data centers and everything else. And Tom, let me give you a profile of my typical listener. My typical listener is a federal IT professional, go to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, they beat their head against the wall, they go home at 5, and they got, you know, unfunded mandates, they have security. And oh, by the way, this bozo Gilroy's walking in with an iPad, what am I going to do with him? And so they're, you know, they're getting pushed and pulled in every direction. And I think, you know, you've got a lot of experience. Maybe you can empathize with my listeners and go, hey, we understand you're trying to reduce the number of data centers. And here, toss him a bone. Can you toss him a bone or maybe a website or something, Tom?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a difficult job, and I think when you think about the problems that federal IT professionals face, it's no different than what the private sector is facing, which is just the rapid pace of change of technology at this point. You know, people are still talking about cloud. Okay, there's still a lot of confusion about what exactly is the cloud and how do I leverage it and is it safe for me? Is it right for my agency? Of course, big data. Everyone's talking about big data. Your end users, right? Your end users are very demanding folks. They're getting more and more savvy, and they're pushing the IT professionals to do more with less. So you talked about these unfunded mandates. And then, of course, I think more so than even the private sector, security is a difficult issue that federal IT professionals face. In terms of, you mentioned a website, one of the mandates that you and I have been talking about was FDCCI, the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative. And my company actually got together with a few other companies and decided to start FDCCIConnect.com. So Federal Data Center Consolidation is FDCCI Connect, as in we're connecting people. So FDCCI Connect is a website where all these IT professionals can go to get all the information, the tools, the latest memorandums, white papers, guidelines, so that can help them get through the six phases of data center consolidation.
So if you're listening, you can go to FDCCIConnect.com, and you can read about the six phases. And I was there this morning. What's interesting is you can see videos of Govies talking about issues and solutions that they have with data center consolidation. I mean, it rings home. It's like, you know, if you want to interview a race car driver, I mean, you just grab one in the studio and you give them a video. And this is what you've done. If you said, okay, let me grab someone from state, let me grab someone from this civilian agency, and tell us how you solve this problem. And I think it's easier for my listeners to, you know, to maybe empathize with people who have gone through the same problems. And I think that's what's great about this site.
I mean, that's really the intent, John. I think you've hit on it. It's certainly a one-stop source. There's all these different articles. There's all these different white papers, and you can go to a dozen sites to try and figure out where do I get the best tools, where do I get the templates. This was meant to be the single authoritative source. So that's the first thing, is that it's always a good place to go to make sure you're on top of the latest articles, surveys, when events are taking place. But most of all, it's what you said. It's where you would connect with peers and thought leaders and say, look, I'm having this issue. Are you? It's a place where that's the connect in FDCCI Connect. It's a place where you can go and talk and work with others that are just like you going through the same problems.
You know, this Van Roykel talks about move from cloud first to shared first. Well, this is an example of shared first, I think. You know, it's like, okay, here's people who've had this problem. Here's six steps that they have used to solve the problem. Well, call me crazy. Maybe this may work for you. What about phase one, phase two, and phase three? We can talk about that. And it helps with defining terms, and maybe one definition is what exactly a data center is. We talked about that in the last block. But I think these are challenges that, you know, I think the people in the commercial world certainly have, and the people in the federal world have as well. FDCCIConnect.com. Tell me about these six phases, and are these federal phases, these phases that the site came up with, or who came up with these phases anyway?
These actually are, they came out from the OMB. So once again, in early February, you saw the announcement come out from Vivek Kundra. So this is February of 2010. And I think by June or July is when you first saw these templates. This is an example of one of the tools that you could download on FDCCI Connect, which is what are the templates, what are the phases. These six phases are actually very logical, very straightforward, but obviously it's easy to read. It's harder to obviously execute. It's a very complex, difficult thing to do. But the six phases are phase one, IT asset inventory baseline, so what do I have? Phase two is your application mapping, and this is proving to be very challenging for a lot of different agencies. Phase three, analysis and strategic decisions, right? This is where you're going to do your energy and cost evaluation. You're going to look at your risks, and you're going to make some strategic technology and investment decisions. Phase four, design and transition planning. Right now we're starting to get into, okay, what does next look like? I've done my inventory. I've come up with a plan. Now I need to start thinking about a consolidation and transition plan. Phase five, consolidation and optimization execution. So now you're actually into the execution phase. And then phase six, obviously, ongoing optimization and support. So once again, those six phases came out through the OMB. This is government. This isn't something that we came up for with the site. And this is folks that are involved in data center consolidation are probably familiar with these six phases. If not, there's a number of documents that walk you through how to be successful at each of those phases.
And the website has tabs. So it has tab 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you can play along at home pretty easily. I mean, you could fire up your computer, stay at one tab, run around, do something, come back in the house, and then take notes and move to the second tab. So I think it takes text and puts it in work boots and says, okay, well, let's take these, you know, six topics and have practical examples of each one. And so I think it's an interesting site from that perspective. Also, the site is supported by four different organizations that have skin in the game that can show best practices for a lot of these. And I think these organizations are your colleagues at Nightpoint. Is that right?
That's right. There are GSA Mentor, Nightpoint Systems.
Mm-hmm. And who else is involved in that?
NetApp mm-hmm. and Riverbed were kind enough to fund this website.
So each one of these has either product or service that could assist in a transition to the cloud. And they may be the right tool, they may be the wrong tool, but I think the website maybe guides people in selecting a tool at all.
Yeah, and it's great. You know, it's interesting. We talk about the six phases. Even one part of the site is a free online self-assessment tool that's designed to ask you a few questions, and you can determine where you are in the six phases.
Right. That's what I noticed. It's it not only gives you information visually, but it puts a little tool in your toolbox, and you can just and say, well, geez, where do I start here? And it tells you where you can start or what best practices are for starting this problem of IT asset inventory, and then maybe defining the terms a little bit better as well. So what do you think? I mean, from what I've read, they're trying to go from 3,000, you know, data centers, and the goal is 1,200. And by the end of this year, it's supposed to be around 500. I think these are reasonable goals, Tom? You think these are just pie-in-the-sky goals, or you think these are actually achievable?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the jury is out. I think you're starting to – the first couple of years, I think, were a little bumpy. People were trying to get their heads around this – excuse me, and their hands around it, too. But now I think you are starting to find people getting into stride. They've completed that phase one, phase two kind of stage, which is what's out there, you know, and what does my end state look like? So how can I get there? So for me, whether the numbers are the numbers, right? And then if we move towards these goals, I think that's fantastic. But even if we only get halfway there, or 2/3 of the way, or 70% there, we're going to reduce costs. We're going to reduce environmental impact. We're going to improve efficiency and service levels, right? We're going to enhance business agility and effectively manage change. Those were the strategic objectives that were stated by the government for the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative. So I do hope we get there. And on an agency-by-agency basis, I think that you're seeing different degrees of complexity, difficulty, and compliance, right? They each have their own unique challenges.
But
fundamentally, if we all come together and try and get towards these goals, they're noble goals. They're good goals to go for. So I don't get caught up in the numbers.
My goal here is to take a break. I'm going to take a break and come back and talk more about data center consolidation. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tom Dierlein, who is the CEO of a company called Thundercat Technology.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Disabled American Veterans is dedicated to one single purpose: building better lives for America's disabled veterans. May 18th through the 20th, in the company of the vintage B-25 Mitchell Bomber, DAV brings its message of support for veterans to the Joint Base Andrews Air Show. In its modern-day mission with DAV, the B-25 serves as a reminder of the sacrifices veterans make for freedom. Meet the DAV flight team with the B-25 at the Joint Base Andrews Air Show.
The Ballistic Missile Report, provided by Raytheon.
Recently, the U.S. Navy awarded Raytheon Company a $106.4 million modification award for the production of Aegis-related equipment, including the Spy 1DV radar transmitter and Mark 99 Mod 14 fire control system. With this modification, Raytheon continues its long history of reliable manufacturing of these two essential components, which are both key elements of the Aegis systems. These components have been in production for more than 30 years as part of the U.S. Navy's Aegis ship building program.
5 million hours of experience, 19 direct hit intercepts, unmatched engineering. Raytheon Standard Missile 3 is preserving freedom at home and around the world. Now Raytheon engineers are developing the next generation SM3. When seconds matter and there's no margin for error, Raytheon Standard Missile 3 delivers. In fact, there's nothing standard about it. Raytheon. Customer success is our mission.
Federally employed women, FEW, the organization of choice for leadership, equity, and the advancement of women, would like to extend an invitation to FEW's 43rd National Training Program, NTP, Wheels of Change Keep on Moving, in Detroit, Michigan, July 16 through 20. The NTP is the largest training opportunity in the world for women in federal employment. The training program will include training tracks to better train employees in the following subjects: executive leadership, science and technology, project management, human resources, and more. In addition, the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, EEOC, and many more agencies will be on hand, so networking opportunities will be endless. Meet other government employees at all grade levels and ranks from across the nation. The 2012 NTP program, Wheels of Change Keep on Moving, held in Detroit July 16 through 20, is for you. So for more details or to sign up, please call 202-898-0994 or visit FEW.org. That's FEW.org.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
Most kids like Legos. You can go to the National Building Museum in Washington and see the Lego architecture exhibit. It's 15 examples of the world's most recognizable architecture done in Legos. Through September the 3rd, it's going to be on display, and there are lots of other exhibits, of course, in the National Building Museum. Find out more about this particular exhibit on page 54 of the May issue of Recreation News or at recreationnews.com in our calendar.
Now, do you have something fun for the adults to do, too?
Sure. Let's take in the Montpelier Wine Festival, May 5th and 6th at President James Madison's home down at Montpelier. This is a great festival, but the home is also newly restored and very, very interesting. It's near Orange, Virginia, so it's not far away whether you choose to go down 95 or go down Route 29. Look at page 30 of the May issue of Recreation News, and you can find out more about this.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tom Dierlein. He is the CEO of a company called Thundercat Technology. Tom, let's turn the boat back to your company and talk a little bit about Thundercat and what it looks like. Thundercat does, it works in the area of data storage and networking and applications and works in many different types of data centers. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're a classic systems integrator. In fact, we were just ranked last year number 178 on the VAR 500. And this past November, we were fortunate enough to be named by Forbes one of America's most promising companies. And as you pointed out, we really provide data center solutions in the area of data storage, networking, applications, and security. Our clients are mostly federal agencies, folks like DHS, Army Corps of Engineers, HHS, the Army, the Navy, DFAS, FBI, USDA, and DISA.
That's a range.
Yeah, it is. We work across a large range of agencies from the civilian to the defense and security.
Yeah, I think if you were in the subway in New York and you told someone that, they'd shrug their shoulders. But most of my listeners would go, USDA and the other side of the river, and those guys, and then you go over to the F. That's quite a wide range. If you'd like more information on your company, the URL is Thundercat, then another T, T-E-C-H, thundercattech.com. And there are case studies there. And I read the case studies this morning, believe it or not. And I think this case, the listeners are going, well, geez, data center, what does it really do? I mean, initialization. What does this company do, and how can I use this company, and what's the value of listening to this interview? And you can go to the website and pick out a case study. And I think an interesting one is the one for the Customs and Border Protection, which your organization did is went in there and said, let's take and fix things up and optimize the flow of information coming out of the system and save them money. I mean, that's the bottom line, isn't it?
I think that, I think we're starting to hit on a bit of a theme that you and I have been talking about. I mean, you really don't invest in technology unless it's providing the ability to for your agency to better accomplish its mission. You know, in the example of the Customs and Border Patrol, you can imagine they've got a wide variety of offices. Their network has to support over 1,000 different offices. And so you can imagine that their wide area network must be operating at full efficiency. And what we had been able to do is work with our partner at Riverbed, and we put in over 100 Riverbed steelhead appliances, and we did a little pilot across 64 of their sites. And actually, we were able to cut their bandwidth usage by almost 60 to 90%. And their applications were accelerated by up to 100 times.
Well, I can understand how that worked. I mean, you have a group of offices here, then you expanded more offices, and then another state, and then another state. And the way it worked in the past was we used A, B, and C, and we used it all. And all of a sudden, someone can, a detached person like your company can look at it and go, well, wait a minute, what worked for the initial two or three offices, you replicate that in 1,000 offices, it's just not efficient anymore. And so you're an outsider can look in and go, no, you use a left-handed wrench or something. And that's what you did with this optimization. Obviously, if the first few offices, it was optimized, but it just outgrew it.
Yeah, and, it's interesting. So if someone says to you, I can reduce your bandwidth, improve your bandwidth utilization by 71%, that's real ROI.
Hey, keep talking. That's what I would say.
When we think about what we do, as a company, certainly we say that we're doing data center solutions. But when we talk about what our mission is and what our vision for our company is, we do everything that we can to support the mission of our clients. In this example, we partnered with a best-in-class WAN optimization technology, Riverbed. But we work with a variety of different companies and different technologies, and that's what we pride ourselves on. We're independent. We're objective. We come in. We can take a look at your issues, your problems, your architecture, and we're working with best-in-class solutions across those different disciplines. So well, we've mentioned Riverbed. We work with NetApp and HP and Cisco and Dell and EMC and Juniper and Symantec and FireEye and VMware, et cetera, et cetera. It means when we come in, we can assess objectively and independently what are the best technologies to help solve your issues, to make you more effective, more efficient, for you better able to accomplish your agency's mission.
Well, and, you know, if you walked into my office in a federal agency and you said, hey, we're experts in data centers, well, I would think you're experts in data centers. Now, what about connecting up different data centers? Oh, no, that's not – maybe that is the problem. And so I think that's what people have to realize is that sometimes the problem spreads beyond a data center. Maybe it actually is inside a data center. And I think another case study that you have is with disaster recovery for an accounting system. I think is this the DFAS project?
DFAS, defense, finance, and accounting.
And what you did is I think you might have used NetApp to solve the problem they had. Is that right?
That's correct. As you know, NetApp is one of the leaders in storage, and this particular customer's network consisted of 32 different individual sites and 1,600 different users worldwide. And so what we had to do is redesign and upgrade to provide increased capabilities and ease of use for all their production users, while at the same time increasing the overall system reliability and disaster recovery capabilities. We'd also partnered with Booz Allen Hamilton on that particular project.
And again, if you just look at the transition in the last 10 years, you know, there is data center consolidation initiative, but it's also paired with using the cloud. So if you have 1,600 people that are all of a sudden encouraged to use cloud applications, you know, that by definition is going to have to involve a data center of some sort. And so you reduce the number of data centers. No, by the way, use the cloud. But, you know, it's a tough juggle. And by the way, do this under budget and can you do it quickly? This is a juggle that many of my listeners are trying to figure out is, okay, they want to go to the cloud. They understand the concepts there. But then there's just like with accounting, all of a sudden you have some security issues that you have to worry about as well.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question mark right now in the cloud. I mean, there's certainly some cultural issues about one agency sharing resources or shared infrastructure with another one, and that's one of the things that's coming up around consolidation as well. And certainly I think that security is a major, major concern for a lot of these folks. And, you know, from my perspective, the cloud is very secure, but you can imagine there's something different about physically being able to see your data center, see your hardware and software right there and know that it's protected versus this cloud that, you know, a lot of people, once again, if you asked 100 different IT professionals, what is the cloud, I think you'd get 100 different answers.
And maybe 100 different answers later on that day. So it's tough.
None of them, and it doesn't mean that any of them are less accurate, but, you know, fundamentally what you're really talking about is this shared services, and you're talking about your applications and your software and servers being at some remote location. Those are the fundamental principles of cloud. And so there is something about not being able to look, see, touch your applications physically.
Tom, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we get back, talk more about the cloud, maybe talk about cost per server, and talk about defining some terms. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tom Dierlein. He's the CEO of a company called Thundercat Technology.
The Federal Drive is sponsored by Learning Tree International.
Learning Tree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. They provide high-quality instructor-led IT and management training to government professionals and contractors at all levels. Call 1-800-THE-TREE or enroll today at learningtree.com/gov. That's learningtree.com/gov.
The Federal Drive, brought to you by Learning Tree International, airs weekday mornings from 6 to 10 and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview, yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know? The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 260 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, what does your company do, John? My company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations that have programs for conformity assessment, accreditation, standards, and policy management. Is your agency responsible for conformity assessment? If so, then please visit our website, armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Tuberous sclerosis complex is a genetic disease that can cause brain tumors, epilepsy, autism, kidney failure, even death. I'm Julianne Moore, national spokesperson for Step Forward to Cure TSC, a series of community walks to benefit the Tuberous Sclerosis Alliance. People from all walks of life are stepping forward to cure TSC. So, dust off your sneakers and see when there's a walk near you at stepforwardtocuretsc.org.
Is your agency using the hidden benefits of telework? Learn how telework supports transparency, cost reduction, and collaboration in government with Naomi Leventhal, leader of Deloitte's Workforce Flexibility Initiative, and Jim Reedy, leader of the Real Estate and Location Strategy Practice at Deloitte. Tune in with host Jane Norris on Deloitte's Fed Central, Thursday, May 3rd and 15th at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly one in three children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth here on 1500 AM every Saturday at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, George Cranwell, president of GE Cranwell & Associates, and my partner, John Dedon, to talk about the Arlington real estate market. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
For 125 years, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth of our nation's capital and its surrounding communities. Your support will help over 21,000 youth who need you most walk through the doors of a Boys and Girls Club and walk out with a plan for their future. Every dollar donated in fiscal year 2012 will be matched up to $250,000 by Stanley Martin Homes. You can help. Go online to www.bgcgw.org and change someone's life. This message brought to you by GEICO.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500. AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we have Tom Deerline, and he is from a company called Thundercat Technology. And we've been talking about data center consolidation and some of the challenges that federal IT professionals have in reducing the number of data centers they have and moving to the cloud and security. If you're involved in social media, and I got a lot of listeners who are, you can follow me. My handle on Twitter is at Ray Gilray, and there's all kinds of hashtags for data center to follow. I mean, there's tons of them out there, and I'm sure it's not a challenge for anyone to find those, and that's for sure. Tom, I got to ask you a question here. You know, just in general, Thundercat's involved in a lot of federal groups and involved in any maybe speaking appearances coming up. Are you involved in any conferences that many listeners may want to attend?
Yeah, actually, we're actually doing a reception. And for anyone that's attending the DISA conference, you could stop by our reception on Tuesday, May 8th from 6 to 9 at Jackson's Bistro.
Great, great. Yeah, there. I think there's a new announcement that DISA has coming up, and I'm trying to get them on the air in a couple of weeks to talk about some of the big changes over there at DISA. When it comes to data centers, all kinds of different numbers can be pulled out. And this morning I picked up Network World and page 16, and they talk about, what does it cost to have a server running somewhere? And I never knew this, but according to the Uptime Institute, it costs $2,500 a year to run a server, and this includes all kinds of things like licenses and energy and hardware maintenance. I mean, $2,500, I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of servers, so there really is a dollars and cents ROI value on reducing the number of servers that you have.
No, absolutely. And if you think about that number, that just means you definitely want to make sure that you don't have a single one more one more than you really need. At the same time, you do have to be careful, right? Because it is about the capacity and it is about your end user. So, we talked about the challenges that IT professionals face, and budgeting is certainly one of them. Especially in today's increasingly austerity environment, you have to make sure that you are doing the right thing and have the right size your data center at the same time that you're doing what's right by your end users and allowing your agency to accomplish the mission.
A lot of my listeners listen to the show online, and they'll type in data center consolidation at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then they'll listen and say, what does this guy have to say? Thundercat, that's interesting. Maybe has some value for us. And they're listening to you, thinking, saying, 2 decades of technology experience. Is this guy really a card-carrying nerd or not? Or is he a wannabe? So what I'm going to do, Tom, I ask all my guess the same question. Give you 10 questions for my listeners to find out if you're really a nerd or not. So first question is, when did you buy your first computer? What year?
Well, that would have been the 1987. It was a Zenith computer that I bought my sophomore year at West Point. It was an IBM clone.
Zenith, I think they partnered with Heathkit in those years, and you could build your own or something like that, if I remember Zenith in those years, the late 80s. That was an interesting time. What was the year of your first cell phone?
That would be 1993.
Okay, that's reasonable. And you don't have a Twitter feed, and you don't have a blog.
I actually do have a Twitter feed. I don't have a blog. Our Twitter feed is at Thundercat underscore tech.
Underscore, that's good. Okay.
That's right, so that's at point. @thundercat underscore tech, at Thundercat Tech. And,
great.
And we're pretty active out there on Twitter.
You can follow them and keep current. Do you have
any? So the question was, when did I first set my personal one up? It was 3+ years ago. So hopefully that gets me an 8, 9, or 10 on the scale. Yeah, I was an early adopter on Twitter.
Good, good, good. And do you have a online personal backup services that you use?
I don't. I've started playing around with Dropbox and others. In fact, I just reloaded some Norton 360, and it comes with 2 gigs of online personal storage.
Geez,
so maybe I'll play around with that more.
Imagine saying that 10 years ago, that would have been crazy.
But I think that it's one of those things that 2 years from now, because I think Google just yesterday announced Google Box. But
yeah, they bumped it.
It's one of those things where you really, really do forget how much critical information is on your laptop.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is have it crash once, and you get that sick feeling in your stomach, and you pull out the hard drive and you rescue the data. But there's something to be said about this online personal backup, and I think everyone is going to be using it within 24 months.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I actually have an iPhone.
Okay. And number of apps on your iPhone?
30+.
Okay. And do you have
a
tablet?
I got to give a shout out. My favorite, most used, obviously, is the GPS function, the mapping function. But I also do Foursquare.
Okay.
That's my little guilty pleasure. I'm busy trying to become mayor of this and check into that.
And a tablet device, Kindle, iPad, do you have anything like that?
It's an iPad, yeah.
Okay. And what social networking sites do you participate in?
I mentioned Twitter. We do have a Facebook site. We do have a LinkedIn. And we mostly use that for, obviously the Twitter feed is linked to the Facebook. But it's mostly for announcements or special events that we'll put information on there, more so than trying to create a community around Thundercat on Facebook or LinkedIn.
And last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
It was paper.
Paper, me too.
It was Be No Do, The Leadership, The Army Way by Francis Hesselbein and actually the Secretary of the VA, General Shinseki. But I'm very interested in figuring out this Hunger Games thing. So I may go ahead and use my wife's Kindle and read the Hunger Games trilogy.
Yeah, grab some high school kids. Have a free pizza night over your house and get a bunch of high school kids in. They'll tell you all about it. I mean, there's a combination of free pizza and teenagers. They'll tell you all about Hunger Games. I'll tell you that
there
much.
There you go.
Well, interesting. I'll have to put this through my UNIVAC computer I have in my basement and see what grade you get on the nerdometer scale here. But kind of interesting. Always interesting answers when I answer these questions. I ask these questions. I never know what's going to come up of it. Tom, you've got experience in the commercial world, the federal world. You've obviously have some commercial, you know, experience in the military and seen a lot of different things and work with many companies. Where do you see this heading in the next 5 years? Get the crystal ball out. Where do you think this data consolidation is going to head? Where is Thundercat going to be in 5 to 10 years?
10 years is a long time. So we'll start with five. The you know, in terms of this federal data center consolidation and cloud, I believe it will only pick up steam. I think that some of the issues now that we're facing are more cultural than technological around the shared services. But when you think about all the goals and all the reasons that the 25-point plan makes sense and why Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative makes sense, once again, I do think 5 years is a long time, so we're going to get to that point where we're going to have massive consolidation, we're going to have significant movement to the cloud, and you're going to have a lot of shared infrastructure and shared infrastructure as a service, software as a service. In terms of FDCCIConnect.com, that website, within a year, I'd like to see it become the online community where people connect and discuss and share. I really want it to be a community site. Thundercat, if you think about where are we going to be in the next decade? Let's see. I think it would follow along with where I said I feel like data centers and the federal IT infrastructure is moving. So right now we do a lot of storage, a lot of networking, applications, and security. What those look like in 5 to 10 years may morph and evolve towards infrastructure as a service and software as a service, and we mentioned cloud and virtualization, but that's where we will be. One of the reasons that we always work with best-in-class technologies and emerging technologies is so that we can stay on the cutting edge, not necessarily on the bleeding edge, because we have to make sure that what we're providing to our clients is a proven solution. But I do see us still working mostly with federal agencies, still being focused on helping them achieve their mission. And I still think there'll be a lot of security, a lot of applications, and a lot of data. Big data is not going away.
Do you see any opportunities in the area of identity management in the cloud? It seems like it would be in your strike zone.
Yeah, it's something that we're not exploring specifically today, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, if you look at your skill set, data storage, networking, applications, and put them all together and move to the cloud, I guess someone trying to use logic would go, well, logically, you'd have to have some kind of access to that. And I would think that would be a mission challenge that your skill set would allow your team to solve for a lot of my listeners.
Yeah, I think in the short term, I think we're going to be focusing a lot more. There's going to be a lot more security opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And then the issues around all the infrastructure necessary to manage big data, which is, you know, the capture, the transfer, the storage. How do you access it? How do you analyze it to turn it into actionable insights?
That's,
you know,
the
business intelligence around big data, I think, could be an area that is in our sweet spot.
Big data, big headaches. Who knows where it's going to head? We're going to have to end the interview here, Tom. We're running out of time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Tom Dierlein. He's the CEO of a company called Thundercat Technology. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.